This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
Our final panellist is Adam Bourne, who is the newly, though not so newly really, appointed Associate Professor of Public Health at Arches at La Trobe University. Adam takes a leading role in the development of research that examines the health and well-being of LGBTI population at both domestic and international levels. He also maintains active involvement in HIV research among key populations and works on a number of projects in Southeast Asia and Sub-Saharan Africa that examine how new HIV prevention and treatment technologies can work best for those who need them most. Adam's appointment has, along with that of Associate Professor Christopher Fisher, brought a breath of fresh air to Arches, tinged in Adam's case with the faint odour of Welsh patriotism. Please welcome Adam Bourne.
Thank you, Liam, for that illustrious introduction. As a terribly demure British person, we tend to dislike those kinds of grand introductions. I was cringing and sinking in my chair. I would like to begin by adding my acknowledgement to those of my fellow panelists, acknowledgement of the traditional owners, custodians of the land, and pay my respects to their elders past, present, and emerging. As Liam said, my role within Arches is in LGBT health and well-being. And so my comments definitely come from that public health and health and well-being perspective. And some of you might be familiar with statistics and the reality of well-being for LGBTI people in Australia, and some of you won't. So let's remind ourselves of those a little bit. Let's remember that significantly more lesbian women experience moderate or severe depression than their heterosexual counterparts, and that situation is just the same for gay men, and the situation is even worse for people who identify as bisexual. Let's remember, and repointing a point that Brenda made, but it's such an important one, I want to say it again. Let's remember the very high levels of mental ill health experienced by so many trans and gender diverse people. In that study that Brenda mentioned, 80% of people had self-harmed. That's 4 in every 5 young trans and gender diverse young people in Australia, in a very large sample, had self-harmed, and nearly 50% had attempted suicide. Those figures are truly shocking, and we need to be reminded of them again and again. Let's also remember that rates of problematic alcohol and drug use are significantly higher among gay and bisexual men and lesbian and bisexual women when compared to their heterosexual and cisgender counterparts. And let's remember that when people struggle to manage their substance use, it can impact on their physical and mental well-being and can affect those around them. But let's also remember that LGBTI people don't always have somewhere safe to go when they need help or support. The many traditional alcohol and drug services often don't understand the drugs and the substances that these populations most commonly use. They don't understand the contexts in which they're used, and they may not be supportive when they disclose their sexual orientation and gender or gender identity. Let's remember that while we have much less data relating to mental health or substance use for intersex people, what we do know, as Lee was pointing out, is how they face huge challenges in accessing adequate, non-discriminatory, and respectful healthcare and in exercising autonomy over their bodies. And let's remember that none of these issues are obviously solved by achieving marriage equality. Now, might marriage equality help to reduce stigma and discrimination towards LGBTI people? Maybe, possibly, in the long run. Might that lessening of stigma and discrimination help to alleviate mental ill health experienced by LGBTI people? Possibly, again, in the long run. But in the meantime, LGBTI people, especially young people, will experience bullying, they'll carry on experiencing harassment, verbal and physical assault, and many more of them will find themselves facing thoughts of suicide or self-harm. Australia has come a really long way in providing a safe and supportive environment for LGBTI people, and we do have to remember to celebrate that. But there's obviously still a very long way to go. And my final point echoes something that both Lee and Michael said about looking, remembering to look beyond our border, and remembering that not all countries are at the same stage in the journey towards achieving equality. I was in Kenya last week, where a study I've been working on for the last few years reported we identified a HIV prevalence of nearly 40% among transgender people in Kenya. Among LGBTI Ugandan refugees living in Kenya, people who fled over the border from Uganda into Kenya, trying to escape some of the anti-homosexuality laws that the Ugandan government have been trying to make even worse. Among those people, 90% had been sexually assaulted or forced to have sex within the previous 12 months. This isn't historic, this is happening right now. And often the perpetrators of that sexual assault were the police or they were other people who were tasked with keeping them safe. Closer to home, LGBTI people in Myanmar, in Indonesia, Malaysia, have few legal protections and significant health-related concerns that mirror or even exceed those that we see among LGBTI people in Australia. We, in this room, as well as many people outside of it, can offer our support, we can offer our assistance, our expertise, if it's culturally relevant, and we can offer our political capital, and we can learn a great deal from working with them too in the process. So where next after marriage equality in my 5 minutes? We should look to tackle those issues that threaten the well-being of our communities, and we should seek to assist and empower our peers in other countries who still battle for some of those rights that we've now achieved. Thank you.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.